It is a good theme song. I have to give myself some credit. It's pretty good. It's the end of there.
Lehigh Valley Health Network is now proudly part of Jefferson Health, and together we're bringing you more hospitals and outpatient locations for added convenience, more nationally ranked specialists for expert care, more clinical trials, and more innovation to improve outcomes. We're investing in your well-being and building healthier communities because more expertise and convenient care means better outcomes and a healthier you. Jefferson Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network, together for the future of care.
Yay! Thank you so much to Lehigh Valley Health Network and to our other sponsors, Michael Bernadin with Remax, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and Banco Beverage Company. Welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. We're here back with one of our favorite guests. It's Lisa Van Arsdale. Ahead of Lisa joins a cult. Her show on February 23rd at the Emmaus Theater. You can get tickets at emmaustheater.com. Lisa, welcome back. Yay!
Hello, George. Thank you. I'm staying one of your favorite guests. I love that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's I got the email from you, and I'm like, man, I feel like I just had her on. And I look, it's a year ago.
It's been a year, yeah. Kind of wild.
How fast it goes. So we're going to do some quick disclaimers here.
Yeah,
because we're going to talk about things that may be awkward or, we want to make sure everybody is very aware of what's going on here. So can you kind of give your reasons why you're allowed to talk about cults, kind of your disclaimer spiel for the
public? Absolutely. Here's Lisa's disclaimer. So for context, I'm doing a live show at the Emmaus Theater. The show is called Lisa Joins a Cult. It is a one-woman show. It's not technically stand-up because you're not obligated to get a laugh every 10 seconds or whatever, but it is a very funny show. And it's a very optimistic show. And basically, I have visited a lot of religious communities, and some people might consider them cults. Some people might consider some of them cults. Some people might not consider any of them cults. That is for the audience to decide. And even if you do decide that a group is a cult, it doesn't make it okay to be cruel to people. And so basically what we're doing here today is these groups have given me a lot of stuff through the years. And we're going to look at a handful of them. Even more of it will be on display in the theater ahead of the show that you can look at before you go to your seat or during intermission or whatever. And this is kind of a little highlight reel of those things. And again, just because I show you something from a certain group does not mean that I think that they are a cult or that they are a cult or that I would want to alienate anyone from that group or that they wouldn't enjoy the show. And I'm just not here to be nasty. Things might be humorous, but I'm very serious about like not punching down on people.
Right. I think it's because the curiosity, right? And I think there are things that we look at some of the groups that maybe we're not a member of, and it's easy to say things because we don't know what's going on there. So to have some insight from someone like you, and again, could you kind of bring the audience back up to speed on what compelled you to do this in the first place, to kind of travel and see these different groups?
Yeah, so I love people. And I love crazy, I'll put it that way. And I love people groups that are united around a common belief or interest, which could be anything. That could be bronies, that could be nudists, that could be Swifties. But I've always really enjoyed religious groups in particular. And I think that comes from being raised religious and not being religious anymore. So it's just kind of this lifelong unpacking of my own religious upbringing, sort of comparing and contrasting what other people are experiencing with what they believe.
So do you find people who are coming to these shows, because you've done this before, you know, the reaction you're getting, I'm sure there are religious people in the crowd. Like, what are some of the reactions that you might get?
Well, I haven't gotten any blatantly ugly reactions yet, which is good. And I think if someone were to have a blatantly ugly reaction, they probably would have the foresight not to come. But I have had a lot of, there's always a Q&A after, and there will be one this time too. So bring your questions. There are always people who stand up and say, I used to belong to this group, or I have a friend who grew up in this group. Have you visited them? Or they come up to me afterwards. So there's always people in the audience who had some sort of religious something in their upbringing. And there's people who had nothing, and there are people who are still faithful. The first time I did the show, there was a smattering of people from the churches I grew up going to that came, and there might be some this time as well.
Right. Because I think, you know, if anything, we could still find humor in even the things that we're a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
can you give kind of a quick overview? I was showing some photos here. And again, you can go to this is LisaJoinsAcult.com.
Yes.
Also TheAmazeTheater.com. Can you give people a little bit of an overview of what the show kind of looks like? And then we'll dive into some of these artifacts.
Yeah. So it's going to be 2 40-45 minute halves. There's an intermission in between, at which time you can look at all of my goodies. And I talk about, I think, 10 different groups. I talk about the different components of like different characteristics that a lot of cults have, and then I give particularly shining examples of those characteristics in different groups and share my stories with those groups that go along with that characteristic. And yeah, it's pretty funny, but it's also tender. There are also parts that are kind of a nail biter. And it's definitely all very shocking. That is for sure.
All right. So we are going to get into this. We have a few artifacts, I guess.
Yeah.
Items. I'm going to bring them up, and then you're going to describe. And remember, we are doing this live on social media, but this is also an audio podcast. So we're going to try to be descriptive.
Yes, you got it. You got it.
So the first item I have on screen here is a letter that you received from a brother Arnold.
Yes, I am so thrilled with this letter. So, Brother Arnold, and I don't usually talk about him publicly, is one of the last surviving Shakers. The Shakers were a group that thrived for a very long time. They had locations all over the US. They were kind of part of the era of experimental communes. And there's only two of them currently living. They are open for new members, and they have criteria for what you would need to meet to become a member. It's a serious lifelong commitment. And someone who loves me wrote to them and asked them to send me a birthday package a couple years ago. And Brother Arnold sent me a book and some tea. They're known for their tea and their spices. They sell all sorts of cool stuff. And he sent me a letter that says, "Happy birthday. Your aunt contacted us and asked us to send you greetings on your natal day." That's what I love here, that it's a natal day. I have been receiving birthday cards for almost 36 years now, and I've never heard it called a natal day. And I just really treasure that term.
That's so interesting. Where are they based out of?
They are up in Maine, and I can wholeheartedly recommend, if you are ever up in Maine, I think they're about a half hour outside of Portland, go take a tour of their museum. They have a fantastic volunteer program called Friends of the Shakers that you can volunteer with. I've volunteered with them. I've worked in their garden. They sell lots of cool stuff, and I love them. And I love my letter from them.
All right, moving on. We're looking at there's a pamphlet with a young woman on it, a valiant woman in parentheses or in quotes, "I can be one."
Yes, this is another treasure. Oh my gosh, I love this thing. So this is from a group that I do talk about in the show. You'll have to come see it to get the details, but I talk about my ongoing relationship with a group of nuns who, when they first met me, thought that I might want to be a nun, and were really hoping that I wanted to be a nun. And so they sent me this in the mail, and this is essentially a brochure for becoming a nun, about like what you would need. Like, you would need to ask the Holy Ghost for guidance and courage, and if possible, visit a convent and meet a nun in practical life, and test one's strength occasionally by avoiding legitimate worldly pleasures. Spend more time in your home circle. Somewhere in here, oh, signs of a vocation for religious life. One of them says, an attraction for the state of virginity, which I think is an interesting way to phrase you're going to be celibate for the rest of your life.
Interesting. So, I mean, I guess I don't know if I should know this or not. I mean, this isn't the Catholic Church nuns. This, like, you could, I guess the term nun could be used for
these
nuns.
Are Catholic nuns, yeah.
Oh, they are? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, this thing looks very, very old, so I don't know if there's a more recent version, but the nun population in the U.S. is dropping dramatically. I think only 1% of nuns are under the age of, like, 70 or something.
One in Bethlehem recently closed. I know.
Oh, really? A convent?
Yeah, or at least one of their aspects of it. So, yes, I know mm-hmm. that they're...
Yeah, so this is a relic from the past that I very much treasure. Oh, and this right here.
I'll just read at the top. It's a pamphlet that says the end of the world is almost here. Holy God will bring judgment day on May 21st, 2011. I guess we made it. So can
we
you tell
did
me
it.
More
we
about
made
that?
It to the end of the world, George. So this was given to me in the subway. Sometime prior to May 21st, 2011, right. I remember this group. I used to live in New York, and this group was around. They had like converted trucks with loudspeakers on top that would go around blasting about how the world was going to end. And this is pre-2012. And I was like, well, I thought the world was supposed to end in 2012. This seems premature. And I'm so glad that I hung on to one of these. I used to have more of them. And during COVID, I was cleaning out my closet long before the cult show was like even a twinkle in my eye. And I'm glad that I had the good sense to hang on to one of them because
we've all been given one of these on a sidewalk or a subway.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, usually, you know, for,
I remember reading in the paper when this was going on that this group, whoever they were, had filed for a tax delay or whatever. And the journalist was pointing out if they're worried, they shouldn't be worried about paying their taxes because we'll all be gone.
What is it? 14 years later. All right, moving on. This is a nice design here of the, what does it say? International peace. It's a picture of a gentleman and a woman.
And a lady, yes.
Reverend MJ Divine, Mrs. S.A. Divine, better known as Father Divine and Mother Divine. Tell us about this pamphlet.
Yes. So this is like a little postcard type thing. Yeah, they seem to have like... made it into a postcard. I have a couple of these. This card is supposed to like keep you safe when you travel, according to what this group believes. This group is also in the show. They're called the International Peace Mission. Their leader was Father Divine. I talk about him in the show. He's my favorite charismatic leader of all time. And his last few surviving members live outside of Philadelphia. And they gave me this. I keep one in my car, too, because they're supposed to protect you while you travel. And I have...
It can't hurt, right?
Sorry?
It can't hurt, right?
Yeah, it can't hurt. Like, yeah. I'm all for, like, whatever superstitions or blessings people want to throw at me. I'll take them.
All right, well, and this is a pro for the time of year, Groundhog. Can you tell us more about Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why is a groundhog on this?
Great question, George. This Most they didn't see how awkward this was. So last year I went to Groundhog's Day in Punxsutawney and had that whole experience, which I fully endorsed trying. Like, everyone should do it. It is such a slice of Americana. But some lady was giving these out, and While you're there, they really hype up the groundhog. They call him the prognosticator of all prognosticators and the seer. And like, so they make the groundhog sound like God. And right. So then when you see this and it says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's a picture of a groundhog. You can't help but stop and be like, do you think that the groundhog is Jesus?
We're giving him a lot of credit for predicting.
The lady who gave it to me was like, what? Huh? No, that's not what I... No, I'm just handing these out so people know about Jesus. I'm like, well, I think you're probably gonna...
It is kind of, yeah, it's definitely... the groundhog... Hey, I mean, we've worshipped weirder things.
We have, they're definitely bordering on worshiping Punxsutawney, Phil. But I just love the
I was up at 5 in the morning watching. I mean, what is the borderline when you could say you aren't actually worshiping this thing? Like, I was up.
Right? They're super into him out there in Punxsutawney. Everyone should go to Groundhog's Day once in your life. I fully endorse it. And if you're lucky, you'll meet this lady and she'll give you one of her cringy Jesus groundhog.
Moving on, I have an ancestor liberation and blessing registration form.
Yes.
What is this?
I'm so obsessed with this. So this came from a group. We'll call them the Moonies. So some people think that Moonies is a derogatory term, but I've heard the leader call people Moonies, so I think it's fine. The official name for Moonies historically is the Unification Church, but this is a group that has sort of broken away, and that's why I call them Moonies rather than just the Unification Church. Yeah. This group is led by the son of the original Pastor Moon, or Reverend Moon, and his name is Sean. And they think that he is, you know, like the next in line or whatever, and his son will be the third king. And this is a form that you can fill out so that he can pray a prayer and liberate your ancestor. And I'm not really clear on what that does, but I think it like rescues them from hell or something. And you can pay money to make that happen. And I'm obsessed with it. I love it.
The form. Like, it's very, you know, you can, he can keep these very well organized.
It's
a very efficient way. If you're running this type of organization.
Yeah, you got to have like a good filing system.
Wait, there's one line that says ancestor generations to be liberated. 1 to 70 up to 140 to 210.
That's a lot of generations. And I wonder how much you're expected to donate. It says a donation of any amount is welcomed. And there's strictly.
How can you put a price on that?
I know, on liberating 140 generations, like, priceless. Yeah, the Discover card right there. Oh, so,
17 Miracle. Is this a DVD?
This is a DVD. So, God, I'm overdue to watch this. This is a movie put out by the LDS Church, also known as the Mormons. Mm-hmm. And it was sent to me by an LDS family that I had stayed with for a few days when I was touring their temple. They've sent me a lot of goodies in the mail since then, and this is one of them. It's called 17 Miracles, and it claims to be based on actual events, and who am I to dispute that? But Mormons are in Utah because they did what they refer to historically as the trek, which is when nobody wanted them living anywhere else further east, so they had to keep trekking further and further west, and they were pulling little hand carts, like big Oregon Trail vibes.
I know some of this stuff, like Brigham Young, right? Brigham Young would have been there for this stuff.
Joseph Smith would have died prior to this. And that's how they ended up in Utah and, you know, why Salt Lake City is the way it is. But this apparently chronicles 17 different miracles that happened during those treks to Utah. And
I thought that was Brad Pitt at first. I'm like, who's starring in this movie?
There are no big names in this Mormon, one. They did Mormon another Brad movie. Yeah, that has one of their other big movies actually has Anne Hathaway in it. She made it when she was still like getting on her feet. But this one has all these miracles about people who like should have died but didn't, or like food that appeared out of nowhere. My favorite one, and the one that I remember most clearly, this lady wanders into a cave and there's just like a shit ton of dried meats in there. And she's like, yay, we have dried meats, and brings them back to the trek. And then they eat jerky, and I'm happy for them.
That's great. You know, it is, in all seriousness, too, it's interesting to see how the mediums, you know, as technology evolves, they're spreading their message through that. But going back to, you know, traditional stuff here, I'm looking at a small piece of paper that says the breath of God exercise, and then a bunch of, you know, this looks like a prayer or a.
So this guided meditation. This I got from the Church of Illumination, which we've actually talked about this place, George, those pyramids in Quakertown over Lake Nockamixon. The group that has those pyramids, which if you read books like Weird Pennsylvania, they make it sound like it's this very like forbidden place. And it's really not. It's open to the public during daylight hours. You can walk around. You can see their pyramids. You can enjoy their garden. And anyone who wants to come to church on Sundays is more than welcome to do that. You're just not supposed to be there after dark. But I got this from them, and it's instructions on how to breathe God in. Like you're gonna meditate or do you? It's assume a relaxed, comfortable position. Now slowly draw in a deep breath from the abdomen, holding the thought as you do so, I draw in the omnipotent breath of God. And then you retain the breath for 5 seconds and hold it. Or you hold the thought, I send the breath of God throughout my entire being to heal and to strengthen. And as you exhale, you say, I send out love and peace to all humanity. So now you know, you guys know how to breathe in God. You're welcome.
You know, this is good. This is a good exercise anyway.
Absolutely. Who am I to turn away the opportunity to breathe in God, you know? Why not?
The final item we're looking at is a woman's, is it drizlik?
I have no idea how to say that word. I think it might be in Spanish, or I don't know. Oh, it's in Spanish beneath that. So this prized possession of mine is the bag that my Mormon underwear came in.
Oh, it's just a bag. Okay.
Yeah. I saved it because it's how you know that it's like legitimate LDS garb, because it has the temple there on the side and so on
is
the
that like well. You can only purchase that from the church?
Exactly. Yeah. You're only supposed to get them if you are like a member of the church in good standing.
Ah, okay.
But I got these on eBay.
Oh, geez. Don't get like the Temu version.
No, these are legit. These are not the Temu version.
And can you kind of explain the why these exist?
Yeah. So similar to this card from Father Divine's group, the idea is that it keeps you safe. I don't know like a ton about the history, but there are anecdotes about, you know, someone got shot, but they survived because the LDS underwear was like a human shield or whatever. People often refer to them as magic Mormon underwear. But the idea is that you wear them all the time as a protection and also sort of as like a reminder of God's love. I've heard it described as like wearing a hug, and they wear them under their clothes.
It makes sense. Well, I mean, it's like wearing a necklace, but just a little bit like three steps more.
Yeah, And also it by default kind of keeps you modest. They're big on Misty and their dress code. And if your clothes are covering your LDS underwear, then you're all set in the modesty department.
Well, it's so like, and these are just, this is just a taste of really, again, a lot of the items that you're going to not only show, but talk about.
Yeah.
Also provide, you know, a talk back at the end of Q&A. So that is, it's audience participation, it's learning, it's all sorts of things.
Absolutely. And we're opening the doors a half hour early. So once you grab your seat, you are welcome to walk around and you can pick them up and page through them and read them and point and giggle or be like, wow, that's amazing, or however you're feeling. It's very immersive in that way. You can pick them up.
All right. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us again. I love stuff like this because it's entertainment, but then it's educational. And I know that it can be tough to talk about. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're respectful, but it's interesting, especially if it's something that, you know, you don't come in contact with. I think that's a lot of these things is we're scared of the difference. So then we make assumptions about the difference when we're not really taking time to maybe learn about it. And humor is a good way to break that ice.
Completely. And, you know, we're living in a world that is more prone to misinformation than ever and more alienating and dividing than ever. And I think it's important and an act of protest even to educate yourself on what other people think and believe and do, and to look for the humanity in them.
Love it. Lisa, thank you. Lisa joins the cult February 23rd, 6 p.m. Doors opening early. Tickets are on sale at emmaustheater.com. Thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to everybody listening and watching, and we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, George. Thanks, everybody. Please come.
Bye.